But as we go through the talk, it'll become more appropriate for those who are older, so don't worry if they phase in and phase out, or you need to take them out, whatever it might be. But let's just pray that God himself will speak to each of us, as he promises to, as we look at his word, the Bible. Let's just pray together. Father, we praise you and thank you that you have given us everything we need to believe and to keep believing. Thank you that we have your word, the Bible. We have your Holy Spirit here amongst us, and we have each other. Please speak to us and give us confidence and joy in your Son's bodily resurrection, we pray. Amen. Well, I want the boys and girls particularly to think right now, because I'm going to say some things about Easter that are not true, okay? And I want you to sort of spot those things about Easter that are not true. And then particularly if you like smashing things with a hammer, then I'd like you to come and smash them at the front here, okay? So I'm just going to say a few things about Easter. You see, now as we know, Easter is all about Easter eggs. It's all about this symbol of new life. So Easter is really just a celebration of all the new life that we see all over the place. Boys and girls, am I saying anything wrong yet? Hands up if anybody thinks I'm saying anything wrong. Yeah, do you want to come out to the front? Because we know, don't we, that Easter eggs are good. We enjoy Easter eggs and chocolate, and we can eat all this. But here we have a nice big Easter egg. But what I'd like you to do, do you think you can just take that hammer, miss my fingers, please, and just smash that? Oh, I think we can do better than that. Okay, go on. Oh, great. I hadn't quite planned that. Well done. Do you want to take a bit of that back to where you sit? There we go. Right, so there's more to eat when we come back in a minute. So it's not about Easter eggs. Now we know about the word Easter, that it comes from paganism. And paganism had the egg as a symbol of new life. But as Christians, we believe we want to take those things that people used to believe in that are wrong and change them to be symbols of the Christian faith. So here's the next one, okay? Is this wrong? Boys and girls. See, Easter is all about rabbits.
No.
And the Easter bunny. No. Do you want to come out and smash something else up? Great, let's do this. Now, these aren't real bunnies. They're just chocolate bunnies, which you can eat in a minute. So do you want to have a go at smashing those? That's very, very restrained. Go on. Do you want to try that? That's it. Right, whack. Oh yeah, that's it. Oh, and another one. Does anybody else want to come and help him? Somebody a bit, come and help. I think we might need two people. Out you come. Yep, both of you. Out you come. All four of you. All four of you come out. And whilst you're doing that, smashing up those Easter, of course we don't advocate any cruelty against animals, obviously. These are just chocolate rabbits. See, the rabbit was also a pagan symbol of fertility. But when Christianity spread in this part of the world, again, Christianity took over those symbols of the old religions and changed them to be celebrations of what Christ has done. Like, for example, ivy and holly and Christmas trees, which were taken into houses as symbols of life, were taken over by Christianity at Christmas. So, of course, are we done yet? Almost there. Okay. See, okay. Oh, okay, great. Right, I think we're there. I think we're done. So Easter is not about Easter eggs or rabbits. It's about Jesus being alive. But here's another one. This is a bit harder, boys and girls. See if you can tell me what's wrong about this. See, what happened was that although Jesus was dead and his body stayed in the grave somewhere, they might have just forgotten where it was. The disciples one day just woke up and thought, I know, Jesus is alive in our hearts, in our minds. We like to think of Jesus being alive, and that's what Christians celebrate on Easter Day. Is that right?
No.
No. See, that's no different to paganism. The pagans believed in an afterlife. The pagans believed that everybody went to the afterlife. And the pagans didn't believe in physical bodily resurrection. The Greeks hated it. So we're going to do something that's a little bit more tricky, but perhaps a little bit more fun, because I have here a jelly I made earlier, but it doesn't really look like a jelly anymore. Anybody want to come and smash a jelly? Yes, out you come, out you come. It's pretty much already smashed. I don't advocate eating it, but if you want to smash it, go ahead. There we go. Yeah, fantastic, brilliant. Well done, well done. Now, why go through all that? Why go through all that? Well, if we know what we are to believe as Christians, we also should know what we don't believe. And we're just going to think a little bit now about what we do believe about Jesus and the bodily resurrection. Because in a sense, we've got to get those things out of the way so we can actually see what it is that Christians believe about the resurrection. So I'm just going to get these things out of the way. You can come and eat lots of chocolate later. As I say, please don't eat the jelly. I'm not sure how old it was. But the first thing I want to do is for both the boys and girls and for all of us here, does it matter? Does it matter if we believe that Jesus physically and bodily rose again from the dead? And John, the best friend of Jesus, says it does really matter. Look with me at verse 31. And if you can read, boys and girls, do read. John says, these are written, his book, about Jesus' miraculous signs, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have what? Life in his name. Let's put it the other way around. If we don't believe, we don't have this life. So if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we have life, eternal life. If we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we don't have life. It says that in John 3:36. So this is really important. It's really important, boys and girls, that you really think and concentrate now. Hello? It's really important because this is about having life. Not just a life of doing well at school or a life of enjoying your toys or a life of lots of friends or a life of good health. Those are all not as important as this life, which is a life that starts in this world and goes on forever. A life with God, enjoying his love. It's really important. You see, it's so important, but the question that we often ask ourselves, I don't know if boys and girls, you ask yourselves this question, I know some of the grown-ups ask this question, well, how do we believe? How do I believe in something that I can't see? How do I know that Jesus really did rise from the dead when I wasn't there and can't see it? Well, that's a brilliant answer, distrust in him, that's a brilliant answer, but we need to say more than that. Because what John says is that the way we believe is by his book. That's what Jesus' best mate said. Now, I'm just going to tell you the story of Easter, boys and girls. Okay, so concentrate on this. And there's just a little chant that we're going to learn. Because Jesus said and taught that the way that we believe is through the Bible, through the book. And we have an eyewitness record. The people who were there actually saw what happened and wrote it down. So here's the story. We know it well, perhaps. Yeah. But let's just think about it. Are you sitting comfortably? See, Jesus had gone round healing people. Hundreds and thousands of people. He'd gone round and he'd stilled the storm with a word. People saw that. And he raised people from the dead, even one of his closest friends, Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days. For 4 days he hadn't breathed or ate or drank. And they thought that the body was going to smell. But Jesus still raised him from the dead, from the grave, with a word. And John, who wrote the book that we're reading, saw all this. Okay, here's the chant. What did he do? John saw it and wrote it. Do you think you can join with me? John saw it and wrote it. John saw it and wrote it. Okay. See, the disciples didn't really understand, but Jesus had said that he was going to leave them. Just on Thursday, he told his special friends, the disciples, he was going to leave them. And he ate a special meal, but that he was going to come back and take them to be with him where he is. And then Judas betrayed Jesus. And all his followers ran away, except one guy. Who was that, do you think? John. See, John was there at the cross with the other women, so Mary and others, and he saw Jesus die. Okay? It wasn't Peter. No, Peter had long gone. He'd really run away. So, John saw this. What did he do? John saw it and wrote it. John saw it and he wrote it down. That's how we can believe. And Jesus was condemned to die. Do we see on the cross? This is supposed to be Golgotha. I know the shape's not quite right. And the proportions are not quite right. But Jesus died on a cross. They pierced his hands and his feet. And lots of things in the Old Testament became true. And then John saw them pierce Jesus and make sure he was dead, really dead. What did John do? He saw it and wrote it. And then when he went to the tomb, after Mary Magdalene had come back, he went to the tomb where he'd seen the body laid, and he'd seen where they put, and he'd seen the strips of linen wrapped around Jesus' body. He said he saw it. And then he saw when he went. Well, he did rise again. That's right. But he saw the linen strips. The body had gone, but the linen strips were still there, and the spices. And that's when he said he saw it and believed. What did John do? He saw it and wrote it. You see, he saw that Jesus really had died. He saw that Jesus really had been buried in a tomb. And he saw that the body had gone. And then he was in the upper room sort of later on this evening, on a Sunday, with all the other disciples. And they were just confused. They weren't quite, you know, can you imagine there? Your leader has just been killed. And the same people who've killed him are now after you. And you're in this upper room and all the doors are locked. And suddenly, Jesus is standing there. And he says, peace be with you. And he says, look at his, I myself, I have flesh and blood. Give me, you just had a barbecue? Give me some barbecued fish and I'll eat it to prove to you that I'm not just a ghost. I'm not like the pagans believe. I'm a real physical body. And he hugged them. He touched them. John saw it and wrote it. See, that's the first reason why we can believe. We can believe. We didn't see it, but somebody else did, and he wrote it down as he saw it. John the Apostle, the book that we've just had read, and the other apostles wrote it down. But there was a bit of a problem. Thomas wasn't there. Oh no, Thomas, if there's a meeting to miss, that was surely the meeting you shouldn't have missed. So, just have a look. Just see what Thomas said. Those of us who doubt, this is really helpful. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Can you see how physical this is? He's saying, unless I put my finger in the body, I'm not going to believe. So the question is, if he comes to believe, what has happened? See, a week later on the Sunday evening, Jesus appears again. The doors are still locked and the disciples are there. And he says, peace be with you. And we might think that Jesus is going to say something like this. Oh, I'm sorry you missed me first time round, Thomas. It's almost impossible to believe if you can't see it. So I've showed up again just for your benefit. Is that what he says? No. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. See, Thomas, according to Jesus, should have believed. He had all he needed to believe. Why didn't Thomas believe? Was it that he couldn't see? Or he couldn't believe because other people had seen? No, it was because he wanted, as I think we understand from his confession, he wanted still to be in control of his own life. He didn't like the idea that Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, he may have risen from the dead, but he had everything he needed to believe, and we'll see why in a minute. But what does he say when he meets Jesus? Does he say, oh, well, about time too. I couldn't have believed unless you'd shown up. No, that wasn't the issue. The issue was who was going to be in control of his life. And so he says, my Lord and my God. For the first time, Thomas treats Jesus as he really is. Lord, Yahweh, the self-existent one, and God, the creator of the universe. And then Jesus says these words, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You don't need to see to believe after that first resurrection appearance to the apostles in the upper room. We are blessed if we believe without seeing. But how? Well, it's easy to miss what may seem to us a sort of slight side issue earlier on in the passage. So if you're still with me, look at verse 21 with me. Peace be with you, says Jesus to the apostles. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. See, the other reason why Thomas should have believed was not just that the other apostles had seen Jesus alive, but they had been given the Holy Spirit and sent by God the Father, so that through their message, the Holy Spirit would speak to Thomas. And Thomas was resisting the Holy Spirit as much as he was not trusting in his friends and having a pretty low view of his friends when they said, well, we've seen Jesus alive again. And he says, well, you know, I'm not going to trust any of you. The Holy Spirit was speaking through them according to God the Father. And so Thomas had everything he needed to believe. And you see, because Thomas had everything he needed to believe, we have everything we need to believe or to keep on believing. See, the amazing thing is that as we celebrate Easter, we're not just celebrating something that has happened 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating something that still happens today. When somebody hears the message of this book or hears from a friend or from somebody sitting next to you that they have come to know the living Lord Jesus Christ, which is what it means to be a Christian, God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You have all the evidence you need. And you have all the power you need in God, having sent his Holy Spirit into the hearts of everyone here who has trusted in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. As the Father sent Jesus, so he sends his church into the world with the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we do believe, can we see how much we have? We have been forgiven if we believe. We have come into a relationship with our Heavenly Father in which we are seen by our Heavenly Father as if we are the Son of God, dearly beloved, delighted over, held by God's love through everything in life, through death on into the new life that Jesus has come to bring, the resurrection life. We have the Holy Spirit if we trusted in Jesus Christ. We have the person of the Trinity who can help us to speak to others so that they come to faith. We have the person of the Holy Spirit who is a down payment, a deposit. If you put a deposit on a house of late, you know that that guarantees the house. The Holy Spirit is a deposit that guarantees us going to heaven. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we are not a Christian. If we are a Christian, we do have the Holy Spirit. We will be in glory. But what keeps us believing? The Word of God. Do you hear the Word of God on a regular? Do you read it at home? Do you come to hear it preached in any church where it's preached faithfully? Are you with other people who also have the Holy Spirit to help you keep you believing? And if we're those who are yet to believe these things, yet to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, are you putting yourself in the right place for that to happen? Are you reading God's Word? The eyewitness testimony. Are you hearing it proclaimed or taught or going on to the TV? Not all of the TV channels that teach the Bible are helpful, but some are. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. You don't have to be embarrassed meeting with other Christians. See, the amazing thing is, as we close, as we celebrate Easter, we're not just celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago, maybe. We're celebrating something that was seen and recorded for us and still happens spiritually in our lives today. Isn't that great? Isn't that something worth celebrating? If you're a believer here this morning, you have eternal life. That is worth celebrating, is it not? Whatever we go through in life, we will be there in eternity to come dangerously close to some words from Gladiator. You see, the pagan truth was that everybody goes to the afterlife. Jesus said that's not true. The Christian truth is that those who trust in the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, show that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and they have eternal life. But those who don't. I'd rather just not say that. But because Jesus said it, it's my responsibility to say that. Now, if we're thinking things through and we're struggling to come to faith, can I recommend two books? Not for the children. They've got to be at least over 12, I think, for these books. The Case for Easter. A good rational explanation of why we can believe in the bodily resurrection. And you may have heard that the Bible is full of inaccuracies. That's old hat. The historical veracity of the Bible has stood the test of time. And here's a book that just updates that. It sort of counteracts some of the demythologizing, if you've come across that, or the idea that Jesus just spoke Aramaic, that he wasn't multilingual. If those are things that you're interested in, it's on the bookstall at the back. But let's just pray as we close. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you so much that the Bible